I want you to turn tonight, put one finger in the book of Genesis, all right? The book of Genesis tonight, and we'll keep you there in Genesis chapter 37. We're going to start there after we kind of give you an introduction here to the message, but I hope the message tonight will be a help to you. I appreciate Pastor asking and let me be able to preach for him in his stead tonight. You pray for him that God will bless him and strengthen him while he's away, and that way he'll be more of a blessing to us than he's been when he's not rested, and he needs that rest. And I hope and pray that he gets a good rest. I want you to now take your other finger and go over to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. It's coming down now, isn't it? That's great. There shall be showers of blessings. Amen. It'll rain during church, and then when we get done, it'll be dry. We can go back home, can't we? Amen. If not, we'll stay in fellowship. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. God makes a statement that I believe needs to be answered by the people of God. At some point in our lives, we have to look at this, and we have to answer this question. And God says there, he says to Jeremiah, he says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" You know, many times we think that the little burdens that we carry, and even the big burdens that we carry, sometimes we get to thinking that, boy, what I've got is just too hard for God, and there's no way that God can answer my prayer. But I want you to notice something here in this verse, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32, verse 27. Notice, first of all, I want you to see God's opening statement here to Jeremiah when he identifies himself unto Jeremiah by stating these words. He says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh." What a statement for God to speak unto Jeremiah. What a statement for you and I to be able to read today and understand. God says, "Hey, behold, take notice, pay attention, Jeremiah." And then he says, "I am the Lord." Now you see that word Lord, it's all capitalized. And God is telling Jeremiah, he said, "I And the all-sufficient one. I am the self-existent one. I am the Lord God Jehovah. I am He. I am the God, the great creator, that overseer, the one who is in control of all flesh." Look what he said, of all flesh. That means he's in control of all men, as well as all beasts, and all situations upon this earth. Amen. Aren't you glad about that? God is in control. And he said, "I am the one who is in control of all flesh and of all things." Man, that's great to know. It's good to know who our God really is. I think sometimes we get a picture in our mind of some old man with a beard walking around with a cane. That is not our God. Amen. Our God is a mighty God. And he is the all-sufficient God, the great creator. And he says, "Behold, Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh." Think about that, folks. Man, what a statement God is making. And then let me say this officially and just go on record. Because I want you to understand something today that God is trying to tell Jeremiah. He's trying to tell you today. He's trying to tell me today. There is nothing too hard for the Lord our God. Can somebody say amen? My goodness, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. And when we are faced by the issues of life that often affect us and come our way, and we're tempted to doubt the Lord God and whether he is actually in control of things or whether God is even aware of the situation that we're facing, I want you to understand tonight, I want you to know this evening, nothing in this life or in the life to come or ever will be able to escape the eyes of the Lord our God. Nothing, amen, nothing. And not only is our great God aware of your situation, of your difficulty, of your burden, of your heartache today, of all that you're going through, not only is he aware of this, the cause of the distress that's coming in your life, but our God is also in control of that very situation. Buddy, when you're sick and you're down and you're out and you're tired and you don't feel like doing anything, or you're facing issues with your job or your work or other situations with family or any other thing, I want you to understand that tonight there is nothing too hard. There is nothing too difficult. There is nothing too unimaginable. There is nothing that can ever happen to the child of God that our God is not aware of and is not in control of in this life. We need to understand that tonight. And Jeremiah needed to hear those words. Many times throughout the Word of God, we see how that God allows difficult times to come our way. He allows hard to understand situations to come into our lives and upon the lives of His servants, His children. Time and time again, we see throughout the Word of God how that God allows those times of great difficulty, those times of great sorrow, those times of distress, yea, even those temporal moments in time where we think it's lasting too long, it's lasting forever, and we just feel that we just cannot go on in this mortal flesh. God is there to let us know that He's in charge of things. And He is in control of things. And David, the psalmist, said this in Psalm chapter 18, verse 6. As I was reading this verse yesterday, I thought in my mind, what a great God we have. David proclaimed Psalm chapter 18, verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. And He heard my voice out of His temple. And my cry came before Him, even into His ears. Do you know what tonight, folks? You can take that burden, that heartache, that difficult situation that you have no control of in yourself, and you can call upon the name of the Lord. Call out in your distress, and He will hear you. Amen? What a God we've got today. Now, I want to ask this question, though. Why does God allow these things to happen in our lives? Why does He do this? Why does the Lord our God so often seem to force us into situations and difficulties in our lives that make us feel like we simply cannot go on? Why does He do this? And why does He make us feel that the very life of this old flesh seems to just slip away and nobody cares? Nobody knows. Why does God allow such difficult times to come our way? We know what the Word of God, I truly believe that the Word of God has the answer to that question. And the Bible said here, where God asks Jeremiah to consider the fact, to consider his condition, and to sincerely contemplate and to think about that each of us at some time or another must look at God and say, is this too hard for you, God? God wants us to look at Him and to know that there is nothing too hard for Him. And we've got to understand that tonight. In our Bible study this evening, I want us to take a look at the life of one of my heroes in the Bible, a hero of the faith. I want us to take a look at the life of a young man who ran into obstacles early in life. He ran into difficulties and he had no way, no power, no means of fully understanding why all these things were happening in his life. He had no control to fix it in himself. But he learned to trust God. And that's what you and I have got to learn to do. I remember when I learned how to swim. And I was afraid to get in the water. I was afraid to go in and let the water go up my nose, and I'd start choking and coughing and carrying on. And finally, they just pushed me in the water, okay? They just pushed me in. Now, I didn't like that. The water was cold. It was deep. And, man, I thought I was going to drown. But you know what? I learned to swim. And they taught me how to swim. And you know what? God sometimes has to look at us and say, I'm going to teach you something if you'll just be willing to learn that there is nothing too hard for me. I want us to look tonight at the life of a young 17-year-old boy named Joseph and how God makes him to come to see and to understand how that both our difficulties in life as well as the decisions that we make while passing through these difficult situations is going to be profitable to us. It will be prosperous to us. It'll become a favorable way of learning to live when we have to learn to trust the Lord. When we have to learn to trust the God who has enabled us to have Him as our Savior. Now, I want us to pray just a moment. And I want to preach to you tonight. I want to give you this message. It's entitled, Difficulties and Decisions as a Way of Life. Difficulties and decisions as a way of life. Father, Lord, tonight I need your power. And Lord, I know that this is the message that you'd have me to preach tonight. So many folks, even today, that we've talked to and we've met and we've tried to counsel and try to encourage and strengthen today are going through so many difficult situations in their lives today. And Father, instead of quitting, instead of giving up, instead of getting mad because the situations are out of our control, I pray, dear God, tonight that the Word of God will help us to see that we can trust you and that there is nothing too hard for thee. Bless thy Word, O God. You've promised that it would not return void if we would preach it and to teach it in the right manner. And I pray, God, that you'll give me the power to do that tonight and be a help to your people. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. I want to show you about four or five things tonight from this situation beginning in Genesis chapter number 37. Now, my scripture text is from Genesis chapter 37, verse 1, to the end of Genesis chapter number 50. But I'm not going to read all that tonight, okay? All right? I'll let Pastor Young read it to you tonight after we leave. But this is the passage that if you get the opportunity this week to sit down and study through, we're here tonight for a Bible study. We're here tonight to learn what thus saith the Lord. And you know what? Sometimes it takes just a little effort to sit down and read through the scriptures to see what God is trying to teach us and to tell us from His Word. I want you to see, first of all, tonight, number one, Joseph's difficulties. Joseph's difficulties. I want you to see tonight the one who loved him and the ones who hated him. You know, if you serve God, you're going to have folks that love you, and you're also going to have folks that hate you. If you try to live for God, God is going to love you. He's going to prove that to you, but the devil is going to do all he can do to show that he hates you. Right. And in this passage of Scripture, in Genesis chapter 37, I want to begin here in verse number 1, and look what the Bible said. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, I want you to look at this passage tonight. While being loved by his father, this love generated a wicked and a vile hatred toward Joseph by his own brothers simply because of who he was. He was his father's beloved son. Who is he? Well, he was that beloved son of Jacob, of Israel's old age. And he was specifically loved by Israel. And because of this fact, he was despised and he was hated by his own brethren. And the Bible said in verse 4 that because of the favorable situation shown upon him by his father, his brethren hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. These were Joseph's difficulties. What's a bad situation to live in, is it not? That's a bad situation to live in. But I want you to see number two, through Joseph's difficulties, fact number two, I want you to see Joseph's dreams. Joseph's dreams. Joseph's dreams became a source of contention between him and his brethren. These dreams became the focus point of their hatred toward him, not just the coat that he wore that identified him as his father's favorite son, but in the fact that he had a dream that he was going to be used of God in a special way. And because of this, his brothers hated him. You know, the Bible said over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Joseph had a dream. He had a vision. He had a desire to do something for God. And he had that vision, that dream of one day being used in a mighty way by the Lord his God. Even though he did not fully understand that dream, even though he did not fully understand that vision that he had, he still trusted God. And he continued to dream. Let me ask you something tonight. How many of you ever dream of doing something great for God? You know what? Not many people dream anymore. There are not many people today that have a vision for doing anything at all for God. They don't have a desire to do anything. They're just trying to keep their heads above the waters. Just trying to keep their heads above the difficulties. Listen to me tonight. You need to have a dream. You need to have a vision tonight for doing something great for God. Let me tell you where that starts at. It starts with one little word called faithfulness. Faithfulness to God. Why can we become faithful to God? Because God first loved us. Amen. Therefore, we can now love Him. And if we love Him, then we can be faithful unto him. Amen? Amen? Joseph had a dream. Joseph's brother saw these dreams only as a moment in a young boy's life to seem boastful, to seem proud, to proclaim what he had that others didn't have. And you know, these fellas did not like anything that Joseph had to say. They couldn't even speak peaceably unto him. So his dreams, pretty soon they became a burr under the saddle of his brothers. And in their lives, they thought of different ways that they could just get back at him. But I want to again remind you of something today, folks. The Apostle Paul told a young man named Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, he said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And boy, Was he ever right about that? Amen. You know what? When you live for God, the devil's not going to like it. But you know what? I don't like him either. Amen. He doesn't like me, and I don't like him. So we got something in common. Amen. Hey, listen, tonight, have a dream. Have a vision for doing something great for God. Have a vision in your heart and a desire within your bosom to tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. But then thirdly, I want you to see this. I want you to see something here tonight. Before I get to that third part, I want you to understand that Joseph's dreams of service unto God, they were going to become the very difficulties that God would later use to make him into the leader that God wanted him to be. God was going to take the difficulties that Joseph was going to face, and that Joseph was already facing there with his brothers. God was going to take those difficulties, and he was going to use them to mold Joseph so as to become the man of God that God wanted him to be. You know what? God does that with our difficulties. He does it. In Genesis chapter 39, turn over to Genesis chapter 39 just a moment. Genesis chapter 39, we see here how that Joseph's dreams, his dreams, they were about to become his difficulties. Now look at this. First, when he was sold, now his brothers hated him. They originally wanted to kill him, but then somebody got the idea, let's don't kill him, let's sell him, we'll make a profit on it. Now, I don't know why I didn't ever think about that with my younger brother, but, you know, probably because I couldn't get much for him. But these guys, listen, these guys, they said, hey, there's a band of Midian traders there, Midianite merchantmen, and they're coming by, let's go and sell the boy. And so that's exactly what they did. But not only did Joseph's brothers sell him, then the Midianite merchantmen, they sold him a second time to a guard, the captain of the guard in Pharaoh's court. And then not only does Joseph lose his heritage and his family when he's sold away like a piece of unwanted furniture, but then he loses his dignity and he loses his reputation when he is accused of doing something that he did not do. You'll see that in Genesis chapter 39, verses 11 through 20. And then he's thrust into prison and he's jailed without even being given a fair trial by the man who once loved and treated him as his own son, Potiphar. And then, because of all this, the Bible said that the goodliness and favor that God had given unto Joseph, as described here in chapter 39, verse number 6, that's also stripped away from him in the eyes of these vile and wicked men. Everything that seemingly God had done good for Joseph was stripped away from him in a moment of time. Boy, what difficulties he faced. And even when he had a dream, he still had difficulties. But I want you to see here, thirdly, I want you to see Joseph's decisions during those difficulties and dreams. Folks, when God allows the difficult times to come in our lives, you and I have to sit down and make some decisions as to how we're going to deal with them. Nobody likes to go through persecution. Nobody likes to go through difficult times. Nobody wants to go through times of people hating them and accusing them falsely of bad things. But you know what, folks? Those things are going to happen. They're going to come. And look at this tonight. Through it all, through all the things that he endured, Joseph's decisions caused him, number one, to remain holy unto the Lord his God. As we now see here in Genesis chapter 39, look at it, where he is tempted in Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 through 10. Potiphar's wicked wife tempts Joseph. And she doesn't come to him just once, but she comes to him often. And then it gets to be daily. But through it all, Joseph decided to remain holy unto the Lord his God. Look at what these verses say. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Look at verse 10. And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to even be with her. Man, Joseph made a decision. Potiphar is gone. He's away on missions. He's away doing his work. He has left Joseph in charge. Joseph can do whatever he wants to do. But what did he decide to do? He decided to remain holy unto the Lord his God. Thank God for a young man like that. But look at this second thing. He also, through all this difficulty and the dreams that he was having about serving God, through it all, he endured these things by making good decisions. And these decisions caused him to remain faithful unto the Lord his God in the work that he performed while being tempted. You know what? He went to work every day just like he was supposed to do. And nothing in his life changed. Look at verse 11. Look what the Bible said. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. You know what? Joseph had character. And character is often defined as doing that which you're supposed to do when no one else is watching you. Joseph did what he was supposed to do. He remained faithful. Look at this. In verses 7 through 9, he remained humble before the Lord his God when pride could have done him in. Potiphar's wife came to him and said, come with me. And Joseph said, listen, your husband's given me everything here. I've got anything and everything I want. But you're not one of those things. And you know what? Joseph kept a humble heart. That humility kept him humble before the Lord. And he decided to also remain serving even when he was cast into prison and forgot about for more than 13 years. Go down in that same chapter to verses 21 and 22. Verse 20 said, Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Even when he was falsely accused, even when he was imprisoned for doing something that he did not do, he remained faithful to serve with a right attitude. Sometimes we think that, God, if I'm going to take all this criticism at this job, and I'm going to take this criticism at this workplace, and I'm going to take all this heartache here, I'm just going to quit and do something else. But did you ever think that maybe it was there in the darkest place where the most vile and wicked people are that God needed a light like you to shine the brightest for Him? You know what? God uses His children to shine for Him. But we must decide to remain to be God's servants. And then look what else it said. The Bible said here that he remained hopeful of God's blessings. How could he remain hopeful? How could he remain hopeful in a situation like he was in there? Look at verses 21 through 23 again. But the Lord was with Joseph. Have you ever been sitting in a situation, going through some terrible times, and you just get to thinking about it? Wait a minute, why am I all downcast? I've got the Lord with me. He is with me and I'm with him. I am his and he is mine. And you know what? Joseph remembered that the Lord was with him. And then Joseph noticed also that with those other prisoners that had received great punishment for their sins, God had shown Joseph great mercy. Great mercy. Look at it. And he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prisoner. He endured his imprisonment in these verses. And while others who had done wrong were cast into the prison with him, and while they were there to suffer through all they were doing, Joseph was put in charge of those guys. Why? Because he had character. There was something different about this young man named Joseph. You know what the difference was? It was the Lord God. It was the Lord in his life. My goodness, can the world see the Lord in our lives, even when we're going through difficult and distressing times? The world needs to see it. Listen, Joseph was forgotten of those whom he had helped. You remember the story with the butcher and the servant of God, of the king? And Joseph interpreted their dreams, and one was set free and the other was hanged, okay? And Joseph said, please remember me when you get out of jail. Please remember me. And Joseph was what? He was forgotten. He was totally forgotten. Nobody remembered him. But through God's power, he remained hopeful of God's blessings. But then I want you to see something else. He remained loving unto God. You know what? When you can go through the difficulties of life and remain loving, it's all because of God living in you. Many times we get irritable and upset and cranky. We get mad at God, we get mad at the preacher, we get mad at the Sunday school teacher, we get mad at the church, we get mad at the wife, we get mad at the dog, we get mad at everybody. And we forget. Listen, God is trying to teach me something here. Joseph remained loving. He never cursed God for what he was going through, as some men will do in time of temptation. Joseph never gave up on God while he endured so many years of suffering and humiliation, 13 years in all. Can you imagine that? 13 years suffering for something that you did not do wrong. He never cursed his accusers for their lies and deceitfulness displayed toward him. You know what? I believe that sounds like my Jesus. Does it not to you? Hey, listen, when they tried to tempt Jesus to say something bad back to them, he never said a word. He never did it. Joseph's heart remained humble. It remained tender toward God. It remained tender toward the dreams that he had for one day serving God to his fullest ability. And he thought within himself, Lord, somehow I know you're going to bring me through all this. You know what? God's word reminds us in Psalm chapter 119, verses 165 through 168. Listen to what God's word said. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation, and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies. I love them exceedingly. I've kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. David said, Lord, you know me inside out, and I'm just going to choose to love you. I'm going to remain faithful. In Psalm 119, verses 10 through 12, he said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord God. Teach me thy statutes. You know what? It's in those difficult times that we need to remain teachable for God to help us, to bring us out. But then finally, we see this. Point number four, Joseph's destiny through all that he had faithfully endured. I want you to see his destiny here. Look, Joseph's decisions, I want you to see this. Joseph's decisions determined his destiny in life. You know what? I've met many a person that comes back and they say this. They say, if I had only been faithful, I wouldn't be in this mess today. If I'd only stayed in the Word of God, if I'd only remained in the house of God and in fellowship with the Lord through my trials and through my temptations, I wouldn't be in the mess I'm in today. Folks, it's when we let go of the Lord God, that's when the devil has his heyday. And God simply wants us to trust him, to determine that we're going to faithfully endure. Listen, throughout the remaining chapters in this book of Genesis, we see how that Joseph's decisions brought forth salvation to many, to all the people in Egypt, to all the people in the then known world, because God used Joseph to provide the food, to feed those folks through all the famine. And you know what? He even provided salvation to the family who had so mistreated him. Listen to me today, folks. God will help you to love those who do not love you. God will help you if you'll trust him. And you'll determine to just endure. Throughout the remaining chapters of this great book, we see how Joseph's decisions would make him a godly ruler over those who are living so ungodly. Over the king of Egypt, over his family, over those who had mistreated him. And you know what? Throughout all the remaining chapters of this book that we call Genesis, we see how that Joseph's decisions yielded unto him a blessed family. Look right here in Genesis chapter 41. Look at this just a moment. You got to see this. And Joseph, unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. You know what God did? He said, son, I'm going to help you forget all those difficulties that you went through. They're forgotten. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Man, wouldn't it be a great thing to be fruitful in the land of your affliction tonight? Wouldn't it be great to be found fruitful with fruit that remains simply because you made the right decision to trust and to obey? Throughout all the remaining chapters of this book of Genesis, we see how that Joseph's decisions made him to become a success for God. He became a success. Why? Because he trusted God. In the Old Testament book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, we read these words spoken by God unto his servant Joshua after Moses, the servant of God, had died. Listen to what he said. He said to Joshua, he said, this book of the law, what book? This book. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so it was in the life of this dear man of God named Joseph, whom God has given to you and to me. He has preserved his story in this old book so that we might have an ensample of endurance, an ensample of faith in our times of difficulty and distress and decision. Oh, may God help us to make the right decisions in the difficulties that we live. Let's bow our heads just a minute. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight. I want to ask you something tonight, dear child of God. When the days of difficulty and the days of decision come your way, how are you going to face those days? How are you going to face them? How are you going to experience these things? How will you come through them if you do not do all that the Lord God has commanded you to do and just trust him? Folks, God's word will guide you. God's man will teach you. And God the Holy Spirit will never leave you, because he wants you to understand that there is nothing too hard for him. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that's never been saved. Listen, you may be thinking that nobody cares for your soul, but I want you to understand something tonight. Whether you're here in this auditorium or you're watching on the internet, God loves you, and God wants you to make the right decision, and that being to trust him as your own personal Savior. Let's all stand tonight, and let's ask the Lord God to help us in the difficult times that we're in today. While so many are going through so many difficulties and times of decisions, let's ask God to help us to make the right decisions.